Heavenly God, we give you thanks. We thank you for giving us another opportunity to come together and to worship you. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for our church family, the Church of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord God, as we come together today on this Sunday, we pray that you will be here by your Holy Spirit. For you promise in your word that where two or more gather together in your name, you are in the midst of us. You're among us. You're with us. So come now, Holy Spirit. Come with all of your quickening power. Come and be among us. Come and dwell in us. Come and revive us again so that we can run this race and then one day hear and receive our reward and hear the well done as we receive that crown in glory. Come and fill us. And while we're here running the race, give us that strength to go forth and to continue to be the body of Christ. One body, many members. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. My sermon title today is Spiritual Anatomy and Physiology. Big words, aren't they? Spiritual anatomy and physiology. I read this little reflection that said, goes like this. It says, onlookers band together to save man from a burning car. On September 12, 2011, Brandon Wright, a 21-year-old Utah State University student, was driving his motorcycle en route to a school's computer lab when a BMW pulling out of a parking lot collided with him. Both vehicles burst into flames. The BMW driver escaped from the car, but Wright was trapped under the 4,000-pound sedan. The horrific accident drew an immediate crowd of students and construction workers. One passerby walked around the burning vehicles to survey the situation and saw a motionless body, apparently dead, beneath the BMW. Another individual, testing his strength, attempted to lift the car out, but without success. A handful of others joined the effort, but could not budge the car. A young woman lay on the ground to peer under the car and saw evidence that the trapped victim was still alive. The flames were intense at the front of the car, where the motorcycle also lay on the ground burning. Nevertheless, at this point, a dozen members of the growing crowd joined shoulder to shoulder at the side of the car, lifted in unison, and tilted it high enough to allow another rescuer to pull Wright to safety. At that point, the city's emergency responders appeared on the scene. They doused the flames and transported Wright to the Intermountain Medical Center, where he was treated for two broken legs and a fractured pelvis. What one person could not accomplish, a team of people did. Every one of those people put their lives in danger. Assistant Logan Police Chief Jeff Curtis said, "Those people are heroes. You can only speculate what the outcome would have been if they hadn't lifted the car." That's a picture of the body of Christ. What one person cannot do, a team can do. Team of us. And so today my focus is on the Corinthian text. Because sometimes in the church we forget that we are the body of Christ. As the picture says on the front, one body with many parts. There is a great song of the church, and if I hadn't done the bulletins before, I would have probably used this song. It's "The Church's One Foundation." in Jesus Christ our Lord. She is the new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he brought her, and for her life he died. How profound when we hear these words. I believe this song was written by Charles Wesley's grandson, Samuel something Wesley. And when you just think of the first verse, we have to be reminded that the church is one foundation. It's Jesus Christ our Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. Not some social club. With his blood he brought her, and for her life he died. She is from every nation. The church is from every nation. Yet one o'er all the earth, a charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. And then so we are reminded in those two verses of the hymn, and it goes on, in the third verse says, the church will never perish, her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish, is with her to the end. Though there we, those who hate her and false sons in her pride, against both foe or traitor, she will ever prevail. The Church of Jesus Christ. So we are reminded that this church that we call church, it's the United Methodist Church, or you know, the other church, or Bethpage United Methodist Church, or whatever the church is, it is not some made-up stuff that was made up by human beings. It is not some thing that came out of somebody thought who just sat down and say, oh yes, let's have church. Because we didn't know about church in the time of the early Christians in this kind of gathering. Yes, we came together and made a building, but we didn't come together and put church together. The church was founded on the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a song that says, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we are the church together. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. We are many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages, too, from all times and places. We are the church. You are the church. We are the church together. And oftentimes we have to be reminded that we are the church together. And Paul's text speaks to that today. Yesterday, I went out to God's country, the other part of God's country, Hampton Bays. Took me forever to get out there. You don't want to drive out to those places at night. No, I don't want to, because I'll just get lost. I even had to use my little GPS on my phone, which I normally don't. But as I was out there, I was teaching a little finance class for the conference. And so now this time of year, we have all of our district classes, right? District classes. I hope folks are going, you know, you all get it in the emails. They're up there in Westbury next week, Saturday. I don't know if I'm doing that one, but we have these classes. It's finance, it's SPR, it's so on, it's worship, it's technology. But as I was sitting there and thinking, here were all these folks who came from different places. Some came from an hour beyond Hampton's Bay, because our district goes beyond Hampton's Bay, another hour way out onto the end of the island, to be in this class. Some came from around, and I came from an hour west. But here were all these folks who are volunteers, right? They're all volunteers who are members of churches who are coming to spend from they were there at 10, I got there at 12 because my session started at 12:30, but to spend 3-4 hours, why? To serve the Lord for no other reason but to hear something that they could do better for their church. Different people, different color, different size, different sex, all coming together, taking 3, 4, 5 hours out of their Saturday to come to do what? To be church, to serve the church, to serve their church. In my little class, even though it was finance, I had a SPR person, I had a trustee, I had a finance person, some other folks who were trying to get information about how they can better manage their church. All right? Do what they need to do. And next week, there'll be another group, and we will go through February 14, the church. People doing what the Lord has called them to do in their own unique way. Does any of us have the answers? No. Do we know? Sometimes they ask me a question and I don't have the answer. And I says, I'll check it out and get back to you. And we had a lot of dialogue about the church finance. And the other ones had a lot of dialogue about their own stuff. Church, it reminded me how important the church is. Not only do we have all these meetings out here, we'll have it all the way in the Catskills. There are member, clergy, and laity who are going all the way up to the Catskill week after next to teach the same class, all the way out to Staten Island to teach it, all the way out to Brooklyn to teach it, giving up their time for the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own unique way. The church. Church is not a building. The church is a people. At the end of my class, as I sat there and I looked at the folks, I said to them when we were done, I really didn't pray. You know, I was finished. I was giving them a word of hope. And I said, thank you for serving. Thank you for taking care of the pastors. Thank you for making sure that they're paid and they're held to whatever it is you're doing. Thank you for serving. Because without that, there is no church. Organized church, because we're not individuals. Paul reminds us in this text today. Now, I want to remind you that Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthian church is a unique letter because he is the church, he's building the church. And if you remember 1 Corinthians, the beginning chapter, chapter 1, if you remember chapter 1, I was looking at it before, I don't know where I put it, but there were divisions in the church. It is subtitled Divisions in the Church. And folks were talking about, I just read it for myself as a reminder, and folks were there arguing and talking about who belonged to whom. Who? I want to give you a reminder that this is not new in the church. I know nobody here is arguing about who belongs to who, because nobody is saying anybody belongs to me. Please, I'm quite aware of that, so please, that should never happen. Who's following who and who's more important? Because as I always say at the conference when I'm there in my meetings, I am the least of the apostles, the least among the apostles. And so Paul knew that. He says, I was just reading it for myself for a second, and the first part as a reminder. And every now and then we have to remind, because there's so much competition and conflict sometimes in the church. I don't know for what reasons, because the church does not belong to us. So Paul says here, it's subtitled Division in the Church. He says, he has gotten a letter from them and he wants them to understand. He says, now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you say, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. And then he says, has Christ been divided? Key. Church is one founded. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So that's just how it starts. This is 1 Corinthians. He's getting letters back from folks saying they're arguing. And there's a group of them. Remember, this is a new church. Some is going to follow this. Some wants to follow Chloe. I am Chloe people. And I am Apollos people, and so on. And Paul says, what's up? What's the matter with you all? That's it. What's the matter with you all? Did Chloe die for you? Did Apollos die for you? Did any of us die for you? Only Christ died for you. The church is one foundation. And so he brings this wonderful image of anatomy and physiology because he begins to speak about the body of Christ as a member. And anatomy is the study of the structure and relationship between body parts. Anatomy is the study of the structure and relationship between body parts. That's anatomy. That means the relationship between your hand and your feet and the other parts of your body. And physiology is the study of the function of the body parts and the body as a whole. So the physiology of the body is the function of the body as a whole, and anatomy is the relationship between body parts. And then when you add spirituality to it, this is a beautiful image of something that is now the body that is filled with the Spirit working together for the good of the church. And the reason why I love this text, I love Paul doing this text in its anatomy and physiology, is that Paul wants us to get it. And he wants to make it simple, right, for us. He doesn't want to make it so complicated because Paul's writing can be very hard to read. We know that. Adam Hamilton will say that in his book. Sometimes it's hard to figure him out. But this is simple. He used the body, and he's going to remind us in this that what? He says, and I like this piece from the Message Bible. As you read, he says, the Message Bible, your body has many parts. It has limbs, it has organs, it has cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. Right? No matter how many parts, this is still one body. I'm still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. Right? So because we have accepted Christ and we're filled with the Spirit, we are no longer what? Separate. We are one body. So if you take the image of the body, he's going to go on further and he's going to say to us, you know, we have to forget the whole labels. There's no Greek or Jews. There's no black or white in the church. There is no male or female. That's what he's saying. We become one body in Christ, one unit, joined together, right? And then he's gonna say, let's look at your body now. You have an arm, right? He says, indeed in the body, indeed, the body does not consist of one member but many. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body, right? Now, could you imagine if I was to lose a foot, I wouldn't be operating right, would I? I couldn't stand up properly. So Paul is using the physiology of the body to let us understand that each part of the body is what? Important to the body. That the hand is important. And the hand is not an eye. And the eye is not an ear. So that's why there cannot be any kind of competition in the church. Because what the eye can do, the hand probably can't do, but the hand can do something that the eye can't do. Are you with me, church? Right? And we don't want to be blind and can't see. We want to be able to hear. So he's trying to bring it home to them from a simple image. Because everybody knows that we need all the parts of our body. Don't we need all the parts of our body? We don't want to lose any part of our body because it makes us function better. So in order to take out the dissension and the conflict and who's following what, Paul is going to go through this whole body image. He says, and if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. In the church, sometimes we have tendency, not in this church, but in many places, to write off some people. We have tendencies. We have tendencies sometimes to say they're big givers, and we want big givers. We want people to give a lot, we want people to give a little bit, we want people to give in the middle, but sometimes we have a tendency to say, this person is so important because they could do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And the other person could just do this one thing is not as important. Right? We've got to be careful of that because we don't always know people's circumstances. Do you see what I'm saying? We want to encourage everybody to give according or to do whatever the Lord has asked them to serve according to how God has blessed them. Right? To their maximum. According to their blessing. That's the problem in the church, that sometimes some people are doing more than others. But at the end of the day, it's all welcome to everybody in the church. To the usher who give out a bulletin. To the person who can sing. Who can sing like the greatest singer. I can't remember somebody's name now. Can't remember. Sometimes we say, oh, that person is so important because if they're not here, it's not that way with Christ. The least among them. And Paul is going to say today, reminded, our little nail, the nail in our finger is important. Do you know that? Because if we don't have the nails in our finger, guess what? You can't pick up something properly. Do you only start thinking, you get your nail pulled out and missing, and see how hard it is going to pick up something. It becomes important, doesn't it? Every child who comes to this church is important to the body of Christ. Because even if they're not doing something that we'd like them to do, guess what happens? They may be challenges us or are motivating us to be what? Better. To do better. So Paul is really talking to the church, and this is a good text for the beginning of the year, to remind us that the church is one foundation. He says, if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Right? If everybody was singing like a nightingale, who would be listening? Think about that. If everybody was playing the flute like the greatest flutist there is, who would be appreciating? Who would be playing the piano? Who would be? Everybody got a place to do something in the church. There are people who work in the food pantry. There are people who teach Sunday school. There are people singing the choir. There are people, the body of Christ. Right? Every piece, people who fold the bulletin. People who are liturgists who read. The body of Christ. And Paul, in trying to bring unity to the church, reminds them. It's just like the story I told you at the beginning of that man who was in fire with his car accident, and one person couldn't do it. It took a team of people to pick up that car to save a life. It takes a team of us to be the body of Christ to save the lives of those who come into the church, to save those who are seeking Christ. It takes a team of us, not one person. We get a tendency to say, oh, this person could pray. So it's listen, God is not impressed. God is not impressed if you could only say, thank you, Jesus. If you could only kneel on your knee and say, oh, God, I've got a problem with my kid, and thank you, Jesus. He's just as impressed with that prayer as my prayer that is going to be full of words because I'm flurry and I could speak. Because I've been good at it and been practicing it. He's just as moved by that because we are one in Christ, right? So we have to get that. We appreciate people's gifts and graces. We appreciate their gifts and graces, but we have to always be reminded not to write people off because they're not like us. Or they can't do as much as us. Paul wants to remind them. Could you imagine if I was to isolate everybody who serves here as good as I think I am? I surely couldn't be doing the bulletin and playing the music and singing. Could I be doing it? Could any of you be doing it? Not possible. There'd be no church, wouldn't it? Because I'd be playing and preaching and running and speaking and I'd keel over. I wouldn't last a while. So the importance of the body. And I was reminded yesterday again how dependent we are on the laity. We as pastors, we are dependent on the laity. And the laity are dependent on, it's a good, healthy codependency. Right? Because when they're sick, they call us. We go to hospitals or we go to nursing home or we show up. But we need them to serve. Right? We need each other because we are the body of Christ. We are first laity, body of Christ. So Paul reminds them, and he's in essence saying, come on now, come together. He says, we all cannot be appointed. There are some people who are good, could speak in tongues. Right? Some people are prophets. Some people who could teach. Some people who could sing. Everybody can't be everything. None of us can be everything. And Paul reminds them here as I close, he says, and God has appointed the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, and then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. And he goes on, he says, are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues? He says, but strive for the greater gift, the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way, which would have been the reading for this week. And the more excellent way is what? Love. That's chapter 13 of follows chapter 12. The more excellent way is love. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of and do not have, right? It's love. That's famous chapter 13 that we use at wedding a lot. It really was not made for weddings. It was made for the church. He says a church without love. We have to love all members. Every one of them. And it's a hard work to do. And then, as I close, we have that one passage from Jesus who, when he was going to get ready to serve, when he got there into that synagogue, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to bring good news to the poor. Here is it, church. Now that we are the body of Christ, we're all members of the one body, we can't do much or do it well without the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit. That's what that gospel is reminding us of. We can't do it without the move of the Holy Spirit. This is a year in this life of this church where we should welcome the Holy Spirit. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to know what it means. There's many things we're not going to understand. But we are going to start being this kind of church that's going to be saying, welcome, Holy Spirit. Come into my life. Help me to do better for the church. Help me to do, because there's something about the Holy Spirit that we don't understand. But if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, if Jesus could have said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has empowered me now to bring good news to the poor. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, surely the body of Christ needs the Holy Spirit. Am I wrong, church? If Jesus needs it, do we believe that Jesus needed it? Do we believe that Jesus is telling us the truth? This Holy Spirit is that thing in us, the Spirit of God in us. He is the third person, or she is the third person, because the Holy Spirit is male or female based on us. She is the Holy Spirit, or he is the Holy Spirit that is in us, that motivates us to go and do, that corrects us, that teaches us. It is the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is not walking the earth anymore. Jesus is not walking the earth. So Jesus did not call up anybody yesterday and say, go out there to Artemis Bay and go work. No, it was the Holy Spirit that was in them, that is in them, that says, you know, you're going to go serve your church. The Holy Spirit that says, you should do this. The Holy Spirit that says, you should work in the pantry. That part of the God that lives in our souls, that teaches us, loves us, corrects us, convicts us, guide us, that part that empowers us to do and be is the Holy Spirit. And so, church, let us, as we start this new year, let us remember that we are one body. Many members, one body. And a body that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that means each person and then the church, we can change the world. We can make disciples for Jesus Christ. We could do great mission for the church. We can change the world. Amen.